All right, good morning, everyone. Let's begin. So we find ourselves in the midst of Kapitel Yud Zayin. So first of all, we dedicate our learning today. It's unfortunately a new escalation in the events of Eretz Yisrael in terms of the bus bombing in Tel Aviv, and in which 23 people were injured. And we hope that in the merit of our Talmud Torah, that all those who were stricken by this latest act of terror should have a complete refuah shalema. That HaKadosh Baruch Hu should really just bless our soldiers with incredible siyata d'shmaya and providence and shmira yisera to be able to accomplish their objectives. And halavai, HaKadosh Baruch Hu should just finally bring about a time where Klal Yisrael does not always have to live in the constant fear of irrational and barbaric enemies. Halavai, HaKadosh Baruch Hu should just finally usher in true shalom with Mashiach. Okay, so Kapitel Yud Zayin. So if you remember again, last week we really focused entirely on the first opening pasuk of this particular kapitel. Truth is, even more than just the first pasuk, we really focused on, there are extra sheets in the back, right? Okay, if anybody needs extras, they are in the back, and also... So we focused really solely on the opening pasuk and really the opening word of tefillah, trying to understand what exactly. Remember, this is the first time we see this particular formulation within Tehillim. We've never seen tefillah l'David before, although we'll see it later on as we go on throughout Tehillim. So tefillah David. So we give a number of different explanations for what exactly David HaMelech is talking about over here. We pointed out that according to many of the Mefarshim, this particular kapitel was written by David, or was created by David in the aftermath of realizing the mistake of having Uriah HaHiti, the husband of Bathsheba, killed. David HaMelech feels remorse for that, engages in a process of self-judgment, introspection, comes before HaKadosh Baruch Hu, not looking for excuses, not looking for an out, taking responsibility for what he has done, and hoping to mend the relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. What I'd like to focus on today is the last pasuk of the kapitel. So if you take a look at pasuk Tesvav, so the pasuk says, ani b'tzedek echazeh panecha. We're just going to use the translation right here, number one. For me, I will see your face with righteousness. Esba'a b'hakit t'munasecha. I will be satisfied with your image upon awakening. So what's interesting, of course, we're going to spend today trying to figure out what exactly is David HaMelech saying. I mentioned last week, and on Monday night we have a tefillah shir, I mentioned it as well, which is that the difficulty with Tehillim is that often the phraseology doesn't seem to make sense. Right, that's why, again, somebody actually came over to me after this year and told me that for years they've been reading Tehillim in English, and it always bothered them that they never connected with Tehillim. They always felt guilty that here, this is Tehillim, and they felt so validated by my statement that sometimes Tehillim doesn't make sense. And the truth is, it makes even less sense in English. If a person is fluent in Lashon HaKodesh, so a person could capture the essence, in English it really does not resonate with any kind of real meaning. So, but again, because remember, Tehillim is just it's a free flow of David HaMelech's consciousness. It represents how David HaMelech is feeling, often expressing that Davidic vulnerability at different points in life. So when you're very emotional, and when you're feeling very vulnerable, so you speak your heart, and often your words don't necessarily make as much sense as if you were speaking in a more composed, coherent fashion. But that's part of the beauty of Tehillim, is that we get to hear from David HaMelech, from his core, from his soul, and not just from the great monarchical orator. So the question is, when you look at this last pasuk, we're not exactly even sure what it means. Ani b'tzedek echazeh panecha, I will see your face with righteousness. Esba'a b'hakit t'munasecha, I will be seated. Esba'a, like sevia, I will be satisfied with b'hakit when I wake up. T'munasecha, upon seeing your image. So the simple approach, well, there's no simple approach, but an interesting approach with this. I'm going to go a little bit out of order. Take a look at number four. I put this source in the wrong place, and I apologize. If you look at the Ibn Ezra, so the Ibn Ezra says something amazing. The Ibn Ezra says, Ani, as for me, ein li chafetz, rak lachzos panecha. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I only have one desire, and that's what? Lachazos panecha, to see your face. Ki tzedek sheshamarti hayasiba lahis angi bir osi panecha. Ultimately, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the only reason I do what I do, the only reason I've engaged in throughout my life in acts of tzedek, in acts of righteousness, in mitzvos, in chasadim, in Torah, is for one simple reason. Because echazeh panecha, I want to see your face. V'atam lahakir ma'asa Hashem, why do I want to see your face? Because HaKadosh Baruch Hu, what I yearn for in life is to understand you. Ki heim kulam klolim v'choch ma'asuyim ulenetzach omdim. Because HaKadosh Baruch Hu is only you and what you do that ultimately stands for eternity. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu, all I need in life to be sated is to be able to cast my eyes upon your visage, to be able to go ahead and look upon you. He says, Lo ka'asher temale bitnam. It's not like other people who need food or need other material things to sate them, to make them feel satiated. So me, all I need is to be able to go ahead and put my eyes upon you. So according to the Ibn Ezra, what he's saying is like this. Ani, David HaMelech is saying, as for me, tzedek, all of the things that I've done in my life, the good things I've done in my life, have been for one reason. Echa ze panecha. Because I want to be able to see you. Why? Because the only real fulfillment that I will find in life is through a connection with you, HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The svia, the feeling of being sated, of satiation, will only come by kitz timun asecha. Look how the Ibn Ezra ends. He says, If you skip down to the last line, he says, "Ve'ela hadvarim lo yevine rak mishalamar chachmas hanefesh." So the Ibn Ezra says, and if you, after reading my commentary, you still don't understand what exactly David HaMelech is saying, says the Ibn Ezra, it's okay, because these words cannot be understood, can only be understood by someone who has learned chachmas hanefesh. Now, what is chachmas hanefesh? So, simple answer is, I don't know what Chachmas HaNefesh is. But the truth is, what the Ibn Ezra means that Chachmas HaNefesh is, he says, you know, the greatest, almost the greatest, to a certain degree, there's an inherent contradiction in the nature of the human condition. Because on one hand, the part that actively defines us as people is what? What's the primary part of our identity? The neshama. What's the great question then? What's the great contradiction? What is it? Right? Meaning, so I have this thing that defines me as who and what I am. But if you ask someone to describe, to explain, okay, so now your neshama is your dominant piece of your persona, is a dominant part of who and what you are. Without a neshama, you're really no one. Good. What is this neshama? I don't know. We could give descriptions of it. We could say, you know, in Hasidic literature, they call it a nitzutz. It's a spark of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's a tzelem Elokim. It's a piece of the Shechina. We could say these words. Do we understand any of them? Of course not. And the truth is, it's okay, because if you understand that the neshama ultimately is an extension of the Ribono Shel Olam, then the same way that the Ribono Shel Olam is not really, we can't really comprehend him. So the truth is, we can't really comprehend the neshamadic extension of him as well. So the Ibn Ezra is saying over here that David HaMelech is talking about something that in reality it's hard for us to comprehend. Because what is David HaMelech looking for? What does David HaMelech want? What does he ask for in the Pasuk? To see HaKadosh Baruch Hu. What's striking about that? Nobody. Right? Remember, even the great Moshe Rabbeinu, even the great Rosh Rabbeinu, who says, Hareini nos kevodecha, show me your glory, which the Mefarshim on the Sanhedrin most speaks of, Moshe Rabbeinu is asking HaKadosh Baruch Hu. You know, we're so tight. Moshe Rabbeinu had a very interesting relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, because on one hand, he was panim el panim, he spoke face to face to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, but at the same time, there was this curtain, there was this veil. As close as he got, there was always this distinction, there was always this barrier between him and HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And so Moshe Rabbeinu comes to the point where he says to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, look, I'm giving my life to you. I've given up all trappings of a normal life to be with you. I gave up my wife. I gave up my children. I gave up any sense of normalcy. So just, almost like to a certain degree, you owe it to me. You owe it to me to give me the closeness of seeing you. And what does the Kaddish Baruch Hu say? You can't. It's just the limitation of your humanity. It's not about you, it's just about the limited nature of man. So what the Ebn Ezra is quite striking over here is Dovra Melech seems to be asking for something that even Moshe Rabbeinu was not granted. Ani b'tzedek echazeh panecha. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I have one desire in life. Everything I've done is only to be able to see you. Furthermore, the only feeling of being seen, the only satiety I will experience in life is when? B'hakit t'munasecha. So the Ebn Ezra says, the truth is, we don't really understand what it is that David HaMelech is actually asking for. We don't really understand what it is exactly that he's vying for. Why? Because only those, Mishalamad Chachmas HaNefesh, only those who truly understand the soul could ultimately go ahead and understand this particular Davidic request. But even in the absence of understanding the exact nature of David HaMelech's request, we do understand something quite profound. That what David HaMelech is saying is, at the end of the day, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, all I need is what? All I need is you. Right? All I need is a relationship, is a closeness. Let me know that we are connected. He's asking for some degree of reciprocity from the Ribbono Shel Olam. Remember, this also makes a lot of sense, because I don't have to say that Ebn Ezra makes sense. Ebn Ezra makes sense even without my approval of the Ebn Ezra. My point is that in the context of the kapitel, it actually rounds out the picture very beautifully. That if we understand Tefillah the David, David HaMelech is trying to reconnect with HaKadosh Baruch Hu in the aftermath of committing the sin, of having Uriah HaChiti, the wife of the Hafzin of Batsheva, killed. How did David HaMelech end off the kapitel? HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I need you to understand that we need to heal this. I need to heal this relationship with you. Because for me, this relationship is the totality of my existence. I don't have anything in life other than my relationship with you. David HaMelech echoes this same theme a number of times throughout Tehillim, most notably in the phrase, Achos sho'alti me'es Hashem osa avakesh. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I have one request. What's the request? Shifti beveis Hashem kol yimei chayai, lachzos b'noam Hashem v'akya beichalo. Let me dwell in the house of God all of my days, and to look upon your countenance. So the Mefarshim there ask, David HaMelech, that's the only request you have? What about your family? What about parnasa? What about health? What about all the other things that all of us daven for in life? And so the Mefarshim, the Malbim specifically explains that David HaMelech understood a fundamental idea which so often escapes us. If you have a relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, everything else falls into place. Now again, I want to give you the Rashi on this. It doesn't mean that everything is okay. It doesn't mean that you get every single thing that you want. It doesn't mean that if you're good with God, life is a picnic. We know that's not true. But what it means is that when you have a solid relationship with the Ribbono Shel Olam, you are able to live successfully despite all of your other circumstances, no matter how difficult or how good they may be. That's a David HaMelech over and over and over again. He never asks for parnasa. He never asks, like Shlomo HaMelech asks for wisdom. David doesn't even ask for wisdom, at least not initially. He doesn't ask for riches. He doesn't ask. Simple, simple. Ani b'tzedek echazeh panecha, achar sha'alti me'eis Hashem. One request. Let me have a relationship with you, and that's all I need. And again, more dramatic in this kapitel, because this kapitel comes on the heels of the fractured relationship as a result of the sin with Uriah Achiti. David HaMelech is begging HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I'm doing my best to repair the relationship, but as we know, relationships are two-way streets. So I could only do my best, but HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I'm asking you to reciprocate. Allow me to look upon your face, whatever that means. Allow me to be sated, t'muna secha, by your image. Let me reconnect. Let me rehabilitate the relationship, because if I have my relationship with you, then I have everything else I need in life. That's the Ebn Ezra. If you take a look at number two, now going back a little bit. If we take a look at number two, so Rav Hirsch and the Radak go in a different direction. So here we have Rav Hirsch. Rav Hirsch says the following. Rav Hirsch says, as for me, says David, I know of another kind of bliss. On earth, I will find this joy in my ability to perceive God's presence, to understand His workings. Now again, so according to Rav Hirsch, you have to divide the pasuk into two distinct phrases. It's ani betzedek echa zepanecha. So according to Rav Hirsch, the first type of this part of this phrase means that, again, let's read it once more. I know of another kind of bliss on earth. I will find this joy in my ability to perceive God's presence and to understand His workings. So according to Rav Hirsch, the tzedek, let's go back. According to Ibn Ezra, tzedek meant what? I'll give you a hint. We did it 3 minutes ago.
Oh. Good. Relationship.
Service of God. Tzedek represents the things that David did. Ani b'tzedek echazeh. It's a pegam in me as a teacher. It's not a pegam in you as students. Chas v'shalom. So now let me explain it again in a clearer fashion. According to the Ibn Ezra, ani b'tzedek echazeh panecha. The tzedek, according to the Ibn Ezra, is what David HaMelech did. His act. And now again, tzedek doesn't have to mean just tzedakah. Tzedek means all positive religious spiritual activity. All the things that I have done in life, says David, is for one reason, echazeh panecha. Rav Hirsch understands it differently. Rav Hirsch understands like this, that David HaMelech, ani b'tzedek echazeh panecha means, let's read it once more now in number two, on earth I will find this joy in my ability to perceive God's presence, to understand His workings. Ani, David HaMelech says, you know what I devote my life to? B'tzedek. To seeing how you run the world, you, God, run the world with a sense of justice. So tzedek, according to Rav Hirsch, is referring to God's activities. And David HaMelech is saying is, I like to spend my time seeing your greatness in the way the world unfolds. I try to see your justice, and the parenthesis is, even in situations that don't look that just, I try to find the seder, the order, even in situations that seem to lack any kind of rhyme or rhythm. I spend my life in this world trying to understand the tzedek in everything you do. But there's the next part. Bahakitz, on that day when I shall awaken the life to the life of the world to come, compared to his clarity and light, all earthly perception seems like an empty dream. The happiness I expect will be to share in the true recognition of God and His presence. I can never attain this final great bliss while I am still tied to the bonds of physical existence. Kilo yirani ha'adam v'chai. So according to Rav, something amazing. The two parts of the pasuk are referring to the two parts of life. The first part of the pasuk is referring to Olam Hazeh, referring to this world. What does David HaMelech do in this world? In this world, HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants you to understand, I struggle, I try to see you. I try to see your justice. I try to see your kindness. I try to see your involvement. I try to see how you orchestrate all of the events in this world and run the world according to some system of divine correctness and justice. That's ani b'tzedek echazeh panecha. I try my best to see your tzedek in this world, but I know that what? I will never fully understand you in this world. I know that no matter how much I try to perceive you, remember, Rav Soloveitchik points out that, interestingly enough, the one form that God appears most in throughout Tanakh is what? Or at least throughout Chumash, is what form? I'm sorry? What form? What does God appear in most times throughout Chumash? Cloud. Excellent. Ash is number two. Ash is number two. Fire is number two. Cloud is number one. Kadosh Baruch Hu and Har HaMoriah, the Medrash brings down, how did Avram Avinu know that he reached Har HaMoriah? There was an Anan Kasher Alahar. How was Har Sinai? There's a cloud attached to the mountain. Har Sinai is described as Anan Kasher Alahar. The Shekhinah, when it leads the people during the day, during the times of the desert, is an Anan. Why a cloud? Why a cloud? So the Rav points out, because clouds are interesting things. Clouds obscure sight. Right? When it's cloudy, you can't see what's above the clouds. And the amazing part about clouds is, when you look at them, you think that they have so much substance, but then what? Right? You realize that there's nothing to it. You realize that you can't put your hands around it. That even though it looks like it's so solid, it's there, you can't hold it. So says the Rav, it's an incredible metaphor for HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That on one hand, God in this world is obscured. That there are times that we struggle to find our Kadosh Baruch Hu, and when we think we find Him, suddenly He's not there. He's a cloud. We know that He's there. We know that He exists. We know that He hovers over everything. But sometimes His presence is obscured, and sometimes when you think you get close enough to hold on to Him, you reach out, you grab, and there's nothing you could hold on to. So David HaMelech is acknowledging the fact that although I strive to find you in this world, I know that my ability to perceive you in this world is limited. So what gives me solace? Esba'a b'hakit t'munasecha. When I wake up, the waking up, says David HaMelech, interestingly enough, it's a fascinating way to describe death. David HaMelech describes death as waking up. Because ultimately, this world, to a certain degree, at least from a God perception perspective, is slumber. We wake up in Olam Haba when we have the true perception of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So, Bahakit, I know that when I wake up, I'm just reading the words a little bit out of order, Esba'a t'munasecha, I will be satiated, I will be sated by seeing your timuna, by seeing your true image. So as much as I try to perceive you in this world, I know that it will never be complete, but amazingly enough, and this is also an incredible lesson, just because it can't be complete doesn't mean you don't have to try. Right? So a person is not permitted to say, well, I can never fully perceive HaKadosh Baruch Hu in this world, so what's the point of trying? Not true, that's not how the Jew operates. The Jew does anything and everything, even though, this is the amazing part about our people, is that even though we undertake tasks that we know we will never accomplish. We undertake tasks that we know really have no end, because we pride ourselves in putting the ultimate emphasis on the effort and not necessarily on the results. So I know that I will never fully perceive HaKadosh Baruch Hu in this world. No one can. Moshe Rabbeinu couldn't, so I'm not going to. But that doesn't stop me for one moment from putting in all of my kochos in trying. Because at least I'll be able to reach some level, not the full revelation. Because even David HaMelech is saying, I'm going to try my best in this world, but I know that the full revelation, the tuna, will not come until Olam Haba. And in fact, if you look at number three, the Radak echoes this same basic sentiment. So the Radak says, and that's why I call this approach the Olam Haba approach. So the Radak says, Amar David, Harishoim, Einlem Chefetz bi Olam Haba. The wicked have no interest in the world to come, because the wicked, of course, are more interested to the material, temporal nature of this world. But I'm not like that. Ki ani mitzape umiyachel lachazos b'tzedek panecha bi Olam Haba. But I wait and I yearn to see your greatness, your righteousness in the world to come. Now I want to be clear. Judaism is not a death-centric religion. Right? Judaism does not believe in some type of glorified death. This is what separates us in a very severe fashion from our Muslim cousins, which is that Islam is often a culture that glorifies that. You hear it, you read it in the news about these individuals who yearn to die. We don't have such a concept like that. If Chas Hashem circumstances call on us to give our life for Kiddush Hashem, we are ready to answer that call, but we do anything and everything in our power to avoid that. You know, there's a whole hashkafa about death. I know it sounds strange. You would think death is the one time you don't have that much hashkafa. No, we even have a lot of hashkafa in death. For example, like Rav Hirsch, just an aside, because you shouldn't misunderstand these words. Rav Hirsch points out that Kohanim can't become tami lemes, right? Cannot become ritually impure, right? And if you're the Kohen Gadol, at least a regular Kohen can become tame for the seven immediate relatives from whom we'd be obligated to sit shiva for. But the Kohen Gadol doesn't even go ahead and become tame even for his own family members. If you think about it, it's theologically strange, especially given the fact that we term dealing with the dead how? As a chesed shel emes. It's the highest form of chesed. So you would think that the kohanim, the religious leaders, should be the ones who should be most actively involved. So Rav Hirsch explains something amazing. Rav Hirsch says that the kohanim are there to give proper spiritual tutelage to the people. How do you show that Judaism places primacy and exceptional emphasis on life? Right, that the quality of our life is not how we die. Right, the goal is we're in no rush to get to Olam Haba, because for us right now the ikur is Olam Hazeh, because in this world is where we could engage in all types of dynamic activity. In this world is where we could do all types of amazing things. After 120, when you leave this world, your spiritual assets are frozen. Whatever you did, you did, and that's what you have to subsist on for all eternity. It's this world that is great, because this is the world of accomplishment. How do you drive home that point to people? By ensuring that the spiritual teachers are nowhere in the proximity of death. we remove them from death altogether in order to show the people that the ultimate emphasis is on life. Yes, death is an inescapable reality with which we must contend. And we believe in Olam Haba, where we reap the benefits of everything we've done in this world. But that's not what we look forward to. That's not what we pine for. Right? You'll never hear. You'll never hear in our lexicon, oh, I can't wait to get to Olam Haba. Right? And that's why, again, how much do we know about Olam Haba? Nothing. Nothing. Because anything you think you do know is all subject to dispute. The only thing we know is that Rambam tells us that in Olam Haba, the righteous sit, the tzaddikim sit, atarosim barashem, they have their crowns on their head, whatever that means, v'nenim iziv ha-shechina, and they derive benefits from the divine presence. Wonderful. Sounds wonderful. Sounds great. Sanya. Right? But again, why don't we know anything about it? If the HaKadosh Baruch Hu couldn't have given us that knowledge, that's by design. Because that's not the emphasis, because that's not what we focus on. What we focus on is how to live productively in Olam Hazeh. So the reason I'm telling you this is because the Ibn Ezra is not painting a picture of a David HaMelech who's just yearning to get to Olam Haba, but rather what the Ibn Ezra is saying is the following. The Ibn Ezra is highlighting this, that David HaMelech has such an incredible desire to see, understand, gaze upon, connect with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But he also knows that the level of connection that he truly desires is not really what? It's not, I left off in the sentence. Attainable in Olam Hazeh. You can't really get it here. What he's looking for is almost Olam Haba type connection while he's still in this world. But he recognizes that that's not possible. He says, I'm reading the wrong parish. He says, number three still. And I know that the way that I will ultimately see your greatness in the world to come are through the activities, through the things that I do in this world. I also know that whatever I will have in Olam Haba is only a result of me placing the emphasis on spiritual activity in this world. So that's, so the Radak and Rav Hirsch highlight this same basic idea. Ani b'tzadik echazeh panecha, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, all I want, everything, I strive to understand you in this world. I strive to see your tzedek, I try to see your system of justice, parentheses, and I know that I'm limited in terms of how much I could do in this world. So what is my solace? My solace is, esba'a, one day I will be satiated. One day I will fully understand you and I will have the opportunity to see you. When is that? Bahakits, when I wake up in Olam Haba, when this life is over, I know that I will understand you, and not just understand you a little bit, Timuna Secha. Timuna represents the highest level of clarity of understanding God. Timuna represents a fully coherent image, an image which makes sense, an image which fits together, an image that is clear. So I know that when I wake up in the afterlife of Olam Haba, Timuna Secha, I will be privileged to go ahead and be able to see you. What Radak also adds in is, but I know that the amount of divine clarity that I will have in the world to come is directly related to what? How I live my life in Olam Hazeh. So therefore, ani betzedik echazeh panecha. So the Radak kind of merges everything. The Radak says, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I yearn to see your tzedek, but I also engage in my own tzedek, like we saw in the Ibn Ezra, because I know that whatever I do in this world will give me a closer seat at the table in the world to come, and I'll be able to understand you and see you in a clear fashion, which is something I so desperately yearn for. Good. So that's our second approach. Yes. No, I mean, again, there's not that much literature on Olam Haba, but what we know is one thing is for sure, which is not everybody's Olam Haba is the same. So it would appear that the various degrees of Olam Haba are differentiated by your closeness, proximity, and understanding of the Ribono Shel Olam. So there will be those that will have a closer seat, which will give them greater clarity of God, and there will be those that will be a little bit further away.
I did think that everybody would understand the Kaddish Baruch Hu comes from not having done what they needed to do would be the sad that they felt because of the clarity. They didn't realize that the clarity, according to what you say,
yeah.
Really what you have.
Correct. According to both Rav Hirsch and the Radak, so the amount of clarity you are given in Olam Haba is directly proportional to the spiritual work, spiritual preparedness you have achieved in this world. Yeah. It's a good motivation to, good motivator to, it's true. All right, take a look at number five, another approach. So far we have the Ibn Ezra, which is approach number one, that David HaMelech is essentially saying, Kadosh Baruch Hu, all I want is a relationship with you. All I want is to be connected to you, trying to repair the damage from the fractured relationship as a result of the episode of Uri Achiti. We have, again, Rav Hirsch and Radak, who understand it more, that David HaMelech is speaking about his desire to see God, recognizing that he won't be able to achieve that level in this world, recognizing that it will come in the next world, and recognizing that he must do, therefore, the necessary work in this world to be able to have that clarity in the world to come. Then we come to number five. So there's an amazing Gemara. The Gemara Ba Abbas writes the following. Dorash Rabbi Dostoy. Rabbi Dostoy made the following drasha. Rabbi Nanai. Bo ure'e shelo k'midas HaKadosh Baruch Hu midas basar v'adam. See how God is very different than man. Why? Midas basar v'adam. When it comes to man, Adam mevi doron god ol melech. A person can bring a great gift to the king. Safek mekablon osay mena. Safek in mekablon osay mena. Such as if you bring a wonderful gift to the king, maybe the king will accept it, maybe the king won't accept it. V'im tim tzalomar mekablin osam imenu, and if the king does accept the gift, safek roa p'nei ha-melech, safek ein roa p'nei ha-melech. Still, even if the king accepts the gift, what's the safek? Will the king give you an audience? Right? Will you be able to meet the king? Or not be, or were the king's attendants say, thank you very much for the gift. The king can't see you now, but he expresses his hakaras hatov. So even if he accepts the gift, will you get to see the king? V'HaKadosh Baruch Hu ain't okay. So that's how it works with a human ruler. But God is different. Adam no sein pruta la'ani. If a person gives a pruta, a person gives a penny, a person gives a dollar to a poor person, zocha umekabel p'nei ha-shechina. Amazingly enough, you know, just by giving a little tzedakah, a person is privileged to be able to have an audience with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So what's also interesting about the mashal over here is in the human king part of the mashal, so it's about giving a present to the king. About giving the present to the king. So if you give the present to the king, who knows, even if he accepts, who knows he's going to see you. Amazingly enough, what the Gemara says over here is, you know, what's a present to HaKadosh? What's the greatest present you give to God? It's an incredible idea. When you do something for someone else. The greatest gift to, and by the way, just to want to point out, the greatest gift to HaKadosh Baruch Hu is not even what you do yourself. It's not your Torah, and it's not your tefillah, and it's the greatest gift you give to HaKadosh Baruch Hu is by taking care of another person. Which makes sense, because the truth is, if a person is privileged to be a parent, you know that the greatest thing that someone does here is when they do something nice for your child. For you, that's, as a parent, that's even greater than if they give you a gift. If you express kindness to my child, that's, so if you express kindness to HaKadosh Baruch Hu's child, that is the greatest gift you can give to the king. Okay, so the Gemara says, so how do we know that if you go ahead and you give a gift, you give tzedakah to the ani, that ultimately you get an immediate audience with HaKadosh Baruch Hu? Look what they quote, Shene'emar, ani bitzedek, echezeh panecha, esba'ah, b'hakitz timunasecha. So the Gemara is giving a little bit of a play on words over here. Ani bitzedek, the Gemara says, tzedek refers to what? Tzedakah. Right? I, through my act of tzedek, through my act, remember this goes also go back to what we spoke about last week. Remember when we spoke about tefillah, and he spoke about that there are certain words that are mistranslated. So, you know, we often translate tzedakah as how? As charity, but it doesn't really mean, right? Tzedakah means what? Justice. Why? Because it's not a nice thing if you give some money to somebody who doesn't have. If I have and someone else doesn't, it's justice. It's just, it's appropriate, it is truth, it's correct that I share what I have with someone else. It's not because I'm a nice guy, not because I'm giving, it's what's expected of me. Sa'ani b'tzedek. When I engage in an act of tzedek and take care of another individual, echa zepanecha. What happens immediately afterwards? I have a rendezvous. I have an appointment. I have a meeting. I have a, what do they call it? And you have a audience. Thank you. I have an audience with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Okay? So the Gemara goes on. Rabbi Elazar, Yoyf Pruta La'ani, Vahadir Matzli. Rabbi Elazar, right after he gave tzedakah, he would always immediately daven. Always immediately daven. Amar dichsiv ani betzedek echazeh panecha. Why? Why would he do this? Because he understood that right after he gave tzedakah, he had an audience with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It was an Eis Ratzon. It was a specifically auspicious time to be able to daven because he had the attention of the Ribbono Shel Olam. That's how we know, for example, there is a minhag like this. So for example, there is many of the minhag to go ahead and give tzedakah right by Baruch David, right before we start Baruch Hu in the morning. Why? Because right before you start Birchos Kriya Shema, which is the lead up to Shemona Esrei, you give tzedakah to create this audience. Many women have the minhag to go ahead and give tzedakah right before Hadlakas Neros on Shabbos. So where does this all come from? This Gemara. I mean, there are many reasons attached to it, but part of it is this Gemara. Because ultimately, when I do something for someone else, that is an immediate audience with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So certainly the time of Hadlakas Neros, which is a time that's especially auspicious for tefillos, so a person goes ahead and says, you know what, I want to maximize this moment, HaKadosh Baruch Hu. I want your undivided attention. Take care of someone else. You get the divine attention. We could give a shir on that by itself, but I want to focus on this for just one moment. So the Gemara says, "My esba'a ba'kitz timunasecha." So fine, that takes care of the first part of the pasuk of ani betzedek echazeh panecha. So when I do tzedek, I'm giving the immediate. When I give the gift, take care of someone else, I get the immediate audience with God. What about the second part? What about the esba'a ba'kitz timunasecha? I will be sated when I wake up and I'm able to look upon your visage. Amud of Nachem Bar Yitzchak, listen to this. Elu tamidei chachamim. Who does this refer to? This refers to Torah scholars. Sheminadin shena me'enehem ba'olam hazeh. Who ultimately want to go ahead and drive sleep from their eyes in this world. V'akadosh Baruch Hu masbi'in miziv ha'shchina li'olam haba. So amazing enough, so the tamidei chachamim who deprive themselves of sleep in order to be able to find more time for Torah, so HaKadosh Baruch Hu repays them in the world to come. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, so meaning they lack sleep, they're sleep deprived. So how does HaKadosh Baruch Hu sate them, not in this world, but in the world to come? How? Masbi'in miziv ha'shchina li'olam haba. So those who go, now again, it's another play on words. So because what does the pasuk say? Esba'a b'hakitz timunasecha. Hakitz means what? Hakitz means awake. Those who keep themselves awake, those who deprive themselves of sleep in this world, what's their reward? Esba'a timunasecha. They will be sated. They will get an additional degree of satiety in the world to come by having this additional exposure to the Shechina. So what's amazing is the following. Take a look at number 7. The Ben Yehoyada makes a fascinating comment on this particular Gemara. Which, by the way, there's so many. I always feel bad because I'm not doing this Gemara justice. We can spend a couple of hours on this Gemara, but one other idea that I want to also highlight to you, which is greatness in Torah only comes through sacrifice. This is the great challenge in our, not our topic for today, but just if it were our topic for today, I would tell you that this is the great challenge for our generation, because ultimately, people want everything. Right? Bless you. They want comfort and they want greatness in Torah. They want, right? And we feel we shouldn't have to choose. And the truth is, it doesn't work that way. If you want greatness in Torah, you must be willing to sacrifice. You must be willing to sacrifice on the material level. You must be willing to sacrifice sleep. You must be willing to sacrifice resources. You have to sacrifice everything. And if you think you're going to have your cake and eat it too, it doesn't work that way. Life is filled with sacrifices. And in order to accomplish A, by definition, you have to go ahead and give up B. That's just the way that it works. And that's what it's saying over here. It's amazing. The Gemara doesn't say that Talmidei Chachamim get additional audience with God because of the Torah they learned. What is it? Why do they get the additional audience of God with God? Because they don't sleep as much as everyone else. That's what it means. Because if you want to sleep till 9 o'clock in the morning and be a great Talmid Chacham, it's not going to work. It doesn't work. In order to find, and this is true, you could apply this paradigm to anything in life. To find greatness in anything, you have to give up the things that other people find comfort in. So you want to be the great Torah scholar, so where everybody else is sleeping 5 hours, you're going to have to go ahead and subsist on 4. And why? Because that's part of your avoda. You have to give that up. So the Ben Yehoyada writes, In number 7, something amazing. See, he says like this. He says, what's going on over here? See, he says, Adam nosing pruta la'ani, zocha umakabo p'nei ashkina. This is by letter A. So the Ben Yoyada says, so the Gemara said, a person gives a pruta, a person gives a dollar to the poor person, he's privileged to go ahead and see the shkina. Yesh lomar, or yesh lishol, really, tevas zocha nirin lashon yeser. So the Ben Yoyada asks a textual question. The Gemara has an extra word. What's the extra word? Zocha. The Gemara could have just said, a person gives a pruta to Ani, nikabel p'nei shechina. You give a pruta to the Ani, you have the immediate audience with God. Why do you need the word zocha? Why do you need the word zocha? Privileged. So, actually, zocha doesn't really mean privileged. It's another one of those words. What does zocha really mean? Zocha really means entitled. 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 Right? You are zocha, right? Zocha means you are entitled to something. Right? Zochin la'adam shalom b'fanav. You can entitle something to an individual, not in there. So what does it mean? So just say, if I go ahead and I give the tzedakah, again, a person is mekalpin. Why zocha? Why entitled? So look what he says. This is amazing. Nearly b'siyanta d'shmaya. Ki yadua amash amr ha-magid amaranzal. Dehaneshama. Listen to how profound this is. The Ben Yehoyada was the chief rabbi of Baghdad in the early 1800s. A great Kabbalist. Great Kabbalist. Much of what he does is based on works of Kabbalah. So he says, this is wild. He says, Haneshama, kodem bo'ol yodam hazeh, misbayeshes liros p'nei shechina. Now, amazingly enough, we know, the Gemara tells us that where do neshamas come from? Where do neshamas come from? There is a chamber in Shamayim. This is the Gemara says, not Kabbalah. There's a chamber in Shamayim that's called the Guf. Interestingly enough, the chamber in Shamayim that houses the neshamas is called Guf. The chamber. And this is one of the chambers in the celestial sphere that's right, the Gemara says, right by the divine throne. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu takes the neshamas and he sends them down to the world as necessary. So the neshama, while it's still in the celestial sphere, has almost like unlimited access to the Ribono Shel Olam. But yet, the Zohar writes that the neshama, while it's in the chamber of the Guf, before it comes down to this world, mispayeshes liros p'nei ashchina. It's embarrassed to look at God. Why is it embarrassed to look at God? This is amazing. Kiman de'achel de'lo delay, bohya lista kuli ba'ape. Literally translated, it's a Maimar Chazal. One who eats of that which is not his is embarrassed to look at the person who feeds him. What does that mean? That when a person has to be sustained by others, there's a certain level of embarrassment. There's a certain level of embarrassment to look upon the person who is sustained. And by the way, that's actually a healthy embarrassment, because what HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants for us more than anything is to learn to be self-sufficient. So there is supposed to be a discomfort when I am reliant on others, because that is not the natural order of things. So the Gemara says that when you're supported by someone else, right, when you have to eat of someone else's food, there's a certain discomfort that comes about when you have to look upon that person. So lachain, so what does that mean for this? So the neshama that's in the guf has a discomfort upon looking upon a Kaddish Baruch Hu. Why? Because the neshama did not earn its place in the celestial sphere. Right? The neshama's just there. The neshama didn't work to get there. HaKadosh Baruch Hu placed it there without any effort exerted by the neshama. So the neshama, now remember, that neshama in the guf sees all these other neshamas that Mamash has spent 120 years working and schwitzing and breaking to get here. And this little neshama that's in the guf has this unrestricted access to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and it's embarrassed. It's embarrassed because it knows that it did not earn its place here. It's not entitled to be there. It just happens to be there. But watch this. V'lachin ba'a ba'olam hazeh lisgol mitzos u'ma'asim tovim. Says the Ben Yehoyada, and this is quite a profound idea. Do you know what the whole purpose of, meaning, think about it. Our existence is very cyclical. So meaning, if we start out in Olam Hazeh, Olam Haba, excuse me, right, in the chamber of the Guf, and we go back to Olam Haba, then one could ask a very simple question, which is, what's the point? Right? Why didn't God save yourself the time and the aggravation that we clearly give God every single day? Right? Save us the time and aggravation that we have by going through the trials and tribulations in this world. Why, if we already start out where we have to try to get back to, just save us the journey. And says the Ben Yehoyada, you know why? Because we have to earn our place in Olam Haba. Because when we start out in Olam Haba, that was given to us. We did not earn that. We did not accomplish anything that would entitle us to that. So what does HaKadosh Baruch Hu do? He sends us down to Olam Hazeh, L'sagel mitzvos u'ma'asim tovim, to acquire for ourselves mitzvos u'ma'asim tovim, kidei shetana me'oneg olam haba min adin. In order that after 120, when we reach Olam Haba, we could enjoy it. You know how we could enjoy it? Because we earned it. Because it's ours, not just because we happen to be there. It's ours because we worked hard to accomplish, to secure for ourselves a place. Da'az lo bahila li'istakuli b'fnei Hashchina. And although our neshamas, before they came down into this world, may have been embarrassed to look upon God because we know that we did not do anything to be there, when we go back after 120, we can look at HaKadosh Baruch Hu straight in the eyes. Why? Because we know we worked hard to reach Olam Haba, and we know that it's ours ultimately because we earned it. Says the Ben Yehoyada, goes on in the bottom, but we'll just do it outside. That's why the Gemara uses this Lashon. The Gemara says, Adam nosin pruta la'ani zocha. What is zocha? What did I tell you? How do we translate that word? Entitled. Once you do something in this world, it's not just the pshat that you're going to go to Olam Haba, that you're going to see HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We saw HaKadosh Baruch Hu before we came into this world. But the next time I see Him, I'm going to see Him because I've earned the right to see Him. I'm going to see Him because zocha, because I have done things in this world that have earned me the right to have a place in Olam Haba. Not just the facto that I'm there because, hey, after you die, there's nowhere else to go. There is somewhere else to go, but we're not going to talk about that today. But now, zocha, I've earned it. I've done what I've needed to do to secure my spot, and that's the pinnacle of human accomplishment in Olam Hazeh. So that's what the Gemara is saying. Adam no sein pruta la'ani. You know what the great part is? When you do, and again, the Gemara here is dwelling on tzedakah, but you can fill in the blank with whatever you want. Yes, zocha mekabel p'nei Hashchina. Yes, you get an audience with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and that's the amazing part. That's the amazing part. That when you do a mitzvah, specifically referring to taking care of someone else, you get God's attention. God is more attentive to you. That's what Rabbi said. Took advantage of that attentiveness. But even more than that, when you do the Maisa Mitzvah, Zocha, you are earning your portion in the world to come. We do not subsist on handouts. We do not pride ourselves in taking things that we did not earn. Anything that is meaningful in life is only meaningful because you shvitz for it, because you work for it, because you labor for it. It's no different in our material lives than it is in our, I should say, our spiritual life is no different than our material lives. The same way we appreciate the things that in the material that we work hard for, when it comes to spirituality as well, Olam Haba is only meaningful because we have to put in the effort, Zocha, to ultimately allow ourselves to be entitled to it. And if you look at paragraph D, the Ben Yehoyada says the same basic idea in the next part as well. So remember, the Gemara said that Ani Betzadi Echazeh Panecha is referring to this idea when I give tzedakah, I get the audience with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So the Ben Yehoyada says what that means is ultimately when I do the Maisa Tzedakah, the Maisa Mitzvah, I now entitle myself to a portion of the world to come. And the Gemara explained that the last part, Ba'es Bo'a Ba'kit Timur Asecha, means what? That those who deprive themselves of sleep, Ba'kit, stayed awake longer than everyone else, will be sated, right? Will be given a degree of satiety in the world to come by seeing the visage of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So he writes in So the Tamdi Chachamim who deprive themselves of sleep in this world, HaKadosh Baruch Hu sates them from the Shechina in the world to come. Nearly b'siyata d'shmaya, d'yadua d'ein schar la'oda mitzad hadin. Ben Yehuda is going to echo the same exact idea. That in reality, kima kol betoras chesed. Yan, ki yesh li Yisrael ima kodesh baruchu, kedin isha ubayla. So the Ben Yehuda says something amazing. He says, in reality, if you think about it, there should be no reward for mitzvos in this world. Why? Because the truth is, if anything, our doing mitzvos is a quid pro quo. Right, it's a tit for tat. Meaning HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives us a lot. He gives us life. He gives us all the different blessings that often we take for granted. And what does He ask for us in return? He asks us to do His mitzvos. So if you think about it, I shouldn't really get additional reward for mitzvos because those mitzvos, that's like the rent. That's divine rent. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is allowing me to live and giving me all the different faculties of living. Okay, what's my rent? My rent is mitzvos. There shouldn't be. So the Ben Yehuda says, this is so brilliant. He says like this. He says, but our relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu is like a relationship with a wife to her husband. Now, I'll just give you, this is echoing the Talmudic setup of marriage. So if it doesn't resonate with you, it's okay. But it just, it. So look what he says. He says, Ha'isha, Maisa Yadeh Labayla. Chazal legislated that if a woman earns money, that money goes to her husband. What's the pshat with that? One of the obligations that a husband has towards his wife in marriage is mizonos. He has to sustain her, right? And mizonos is not just food. Mizonos means everything. He has to take care of her. So Chazal felt that if a woman is earning money, so that money should go towards the expenses of the household. That's what it means. If a woman generates money, the money goes to the husband. Okay, with one exception. What's the exception? This is amazing. Ach yadua gabe isha ha'adofa ayide adchak harihi liatzma. Now, interestingly enough, there's one exception to this, which is, let's say, for argument's sake, a woman's expenses, the expenses for her living are $1,000 a month. She's very frugal, right? $1,000 a month. And it turns out that she earns $1,500 a month. So what happens halachically to that extra $500? The Gemara says, that's hers. That's right. Meaning, the only thing that Chazal are trying to do is Chazal just trying to equalize the equation. If the husband is spending the money to support, she should contribute to the expenses of the household. But if she's earning above and beyond the expenses of the household, what we call ha'adafa odef, that which is extra, the extra belongs to her. The extra is hers. Husband has no rights in those. So the Gemara, so listen to what Ben Yehuda says, and this is amazing. He says, why? Shezulchin b'schar zemin adin. V'nimtza mishalahen ochlin. Al kein yasbiyen. I'm sorry, I skipped the line. V'chinkan gabi tamidi chachamim shemenadidin shema me'eneyem havi leha'adofa ayidei adchak shezochin bischar zem min adin v'nimtza mishalahen ochlim al ken yaspim HaKadosh Baruch Hu mizvah shkina liolam haba ki ha'ochal mishalov saveya yoser. So amazing, says Ben Yehuda something amazing. When the Talmid Chacham learns Torah, okay, that's his rent. Everybody's obligated to do our mitzvahs. So Talmid Chacham learns Torah, beautiful, wonderful. Don't expect any ticker tape parades for that. You're not going to get a big shkira for that because that's what you're obligated to do if you look at everything that God gives you. But what happens? If the Talmid Chacham goes ahead and gives up some of his sleep to go ahead and learn Hadafa, he's giving extra of himself, then what? HaKadosh Baruch says, oh, now you're going above and beyond. Now you're going beyond what the expectations are. If you're going beyond the expectations, I'm going to go beyond the expectations. And that's why ultimately the Pasuk says, Esba'a, when does HaKadosh Baruch Hu sate us? When will He give us the extra degree of satiety? Timunosecha, by seeing His image, Bahakitz. When we deprive ourselves of the things that we are rightfully entitled to. We can't expect much for doing the things for which we are obligated, because those are the things we owe God because of everything that God does for us. But when we go above and beyond, that's ultimately when HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, well, if you've gone above and beyond for me, I have to go above and beyond for you. And he goes on. If you skip down a little bit, he says just the last couple of lines. Aval elu shein menadid shinim heineim, da az yeshlem schar menadin. Lachin HaKadosh Baruch Hu masbiyin mizim ha-shchina, masbiyin daika, kevan delo ba-hili listakule, nimtza ana-asam hi lesova. So ultimately he says something amazing. So he ties really both ideas together. That what comes out from these two ideas of Ben Yoyada is like this. Adam no se pruta la'ani zocha mekabal p'nei ha-shchina. It's only when you do positive things that what? That you are entitled to your portion in Olam Hazeh, in Olam Haba, excuse me. In order to have a meaningful Olam Haba, you have to earn it. How do you earn it? By ultimately engaging in positive spiritual activity during your time in this world. I was in Olam Haba already, you're right, but when I was in Olam Haba before I was born, I couldn't even look upon the Shekhinah because I knew that I didn't earn my place there. But after 120, what's my goal? My goal is to be able to look at HaKadosh Baruch Hu square in the eye because I belong here. Why do I belong here? I'm Zocha. Why? Because of the dynamic spiritual activity that I've engaged in this world. But it's not just enough to engage in dynamic spiritual activity. Because one can make the argument that maybe there shouldn't be reward when I do mitzvos, because at the end of the day, the mitzvos is what I owe God for all of the brachos that He gives me. Says the Ben Yehuda, you're right. And that's why you know what we need to do in this world? We need to go above and beyond. Just like the Talmid Chacham only becomes the Talmid Chacham when he gives up that which is his. He takes something that is his and he gives it to God. That extra, so to speak, hour of sleep is mine. But I give that to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and that's when HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, wow, if you're going above and beyond for me, then ultimately I am going to go above and beyond for you. What's the common denominator of these two approaches? Is you have to earn your relationship with God. You know, we often assume that our relationship with God is an entitlement. That truth is, and that okay, of course, we take it for granted. I have a relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's not true. It's not true. I have a connection with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's independent of what I do or what I don't do. I'm His creation. I'm His child. So by definition, I have a connection with Him. But relationship must be earned. Relationship must be created. Relationship only comes about as a result of two things. Number one, dynamic activity. You have to do something to have a relationship. Like think about it. It's like in anything in life. It's true in a marriage. It's true with parents. It's true in a friendship. If you don't do anything to cultivate the relationship, that's why relationships fall apart. When one party in a relationship loses interest and no longer feels they have to put in any effort, the relationship is on the decline. So if I want a relationship with a Kodesh Baruch Hu, that's what he says. Adam no sein pruta la'ani zecha zuche umekabel. It's only if you do something that you will be entitled to the relationship. But lest you think it's okay just to do what's incumbent upon you. So yes, that could be a relationship. You could have a good relationship like that. But is it going to be beautiful? Is it going to bless you? Is it going to be passionate? Is it going to be exciting? Is it going to be riveting? No. It'll just be good. You want passion. You want excitement. You want fulfillment in your relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. You have to go above and beyond. If that's what you want from God, then that's what you have to do for God. If you want HaKadosh Baruch Hu to be locked in a passionate relationship with you, then you must be passionate about the Ribono Shel Olam. How does religious passion manifest itself? By going above and beyond what I am obligated to do according to the letter of the law. So according to this approach, David HaMelech is saying something absolutely amazing. So if we look back at number one for just a moment, so David HaMelech says, Ani b'tzedek echazeh panecha. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I know that I can have a relationship with you. How could I have a relationship with you? And this goes back to our first portion of the Ibn Ezra. Tzedek. What does tzedek mean according to this approach? Right? The things that I do. I know that if I engage in tzedek, if I do mitzvos, then I will earn a relationship with you, HaKadosh Baruch Hu. I know it. But, I don't just want a relationship. I want a fiery, passionate relationship. How can I have that? Esba'ah ba'akit timunasecha. The only way, ultimately, I could awaken myself to a more passionate and meaningful relationship is how? Esba'ah is to sate myself with your mitzvot, which means to go above and beyond. So in this last pasuk, David HaMelech is referring to the two different forms of relationship with God. You can get by, which is fine. And the truth is, remember, a lot of people just get by. You can get by, and the truth is you'll even have a portion of the world to come, and you're a very good person, and you're doing everything wonderful, and it's perfect. And again, no one will fault you for getting by. I venture to say 98% of humanity just gets by. That's the way the world works. But the question is, do you really want that? Is that really what you're going to be satisfied with, given the fact that a more meaningful relationship is at your fingertips? So of course, everybody wants it, so how do you do it? So here's the tricky part. You have to go above and beyond. You have to put yourself out. And I'm not suggesting you have to sleep less. The Gemara was just using that as an example. But the truth is, if you sleep less, there is more time to do things. But I'm sorry? To the women, I know. So again, I'm just pointing out, the sleeping less is an example of giving something up in order to accomplish. The sleeping less represents the fact that I have to sacrifice in order to be able to give more to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That is the linchpin. That's what is necessary to have that passionate relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And just because we're already over time, just last approach quickly, and with this we'll end the capital. If we take a look at number 8, so Rashi says something amazing. Rashi says, Ani b'tzedek echazeh panecha. What does it mean? So what Rashi points out over here is something very interesting, which is the tense. Right, when David HaMelech says, Ani b'tzedek echazeh. Echazeh is what? Is future. Rashi says, la'asit. In the future. That's what Rashi says, in the future. So I think this is very profound as well. If we bring this all together, remember how we understood that this kapitel was said by David HaMelech in the aftermath of the mistake with Uriah Chiti. And David HaMelech is spending this kapitel trying to mend the relationship. And remember, everything we've seen. So he says, we can even go through all the approach. He says, according to the Ibn Ezra, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, all I want is you. All I want is a relationship with you. You're the most important thing in my life. If I have you, then I have everything else. We saw again, Rav Hirsch And we saw the Radak who explained that David HaMelech is saying, Kodesh Baruch Hu, I want you in this world. And the truth is what? I want you in the world to come. I'm going to strive to understand you in this world, even though I'm limited. But I know that I want to strive to understand you in the world to come while I have full exposure to you. We saw, again, the approach of the Gemara, the Ben Yehoyada. That what is David HaMelech saying, Kodesh Baruch Hu, I don't just want to be friends. I don't just want a platonic relationship. I don't just want to get by. I don't just want to be entitled. I want the passion. I want the fire. And I'm willing to give of myself. I'm willing to go above and beyond to sacrifice in order to have that. But after all that, what does Rashi say? Lasid. That amazingly enough, sometimes you can't expect immediate reconciliation. That sometimes in life we have to wait for certain things to actualize. And sometimes we even have to wait for God. We think that if we get all of our ducks in a row, so then of course HaKadosh Baruch Hu should respond. But we said to Tehillim, right? We got everybody together. I took on an extra mitzvah. I did this. I did that. I did. How can you not respond? That's not the way God works. We don't know how God works. But there's one thing we know for sure, which is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is not a divine puppy who's obligated to go ahead and respond when I beckon him, right? HaKadosh Baruch Hu has his own cheshbonos. And part of the most important humility in life is to accept the fact that HaKadosh Baruch Hu does not work on my timelines. So amazingly enough, after David HaMelech, again, Tefillah LeDavid, has accepted responsibility for the mistake that he made with Uriah Hiti. After David HaMelech reaffirms his allegiance to reestablish his relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. After David HaMelech says, God, all I want is you. David HaMelech must accept the fact that what? That God has to be ready for the resumption of this relationship also. And I don't know if God is yet ready. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I will be patient. You, God, don't work on my timeline, but I, human being, work on your God, on your timeline. See, even if it's la'asid, even if it's in the future, I'm willing to wait until you're ready. And of course, this creates a new paradigm in our relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu also. This echezeh, this la'asid, is important in our relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Because sometimes the most frustrating thing, and the part sometimes that derails us very, very terribly, is we accept God to immediately respond. So I have a chola, I'm davening, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, semner. Doesn't work that way. I mean, sometimes it does work that way, and sometimes it doesn't work that way. And that's part of our humility. Part of our humility is not just accepting the answer of God, but accepting the answer of God when God decides to give it. Sometimes it's faster, sometimes it's slower, sometimes it's when I need it, sometimes it's when I don't need it, whatever it is. Echazeh, Lashon Asid. That part of building a meaningful relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu is also having the staying power and the patience to allow HaKadosh Baruch Hu to allow things to unfold according to the divine timeline. All right, we'll stop over here.